Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Bob's Discount Furniture and can be found on the web at www.mybobs.com. Tonight's guests are Lloyd Auerbach, Janet Mayer, and our own Mediums and Messages host, Angelina Diana. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob, and everyone else.
Well, thank you, and just want to make it clear that my Bob has nothing to do with me. I wish it did, but as Fran mentioned, we usually do a radio show every year at the same time that we have our conference. Sometimes we have it in the various conference cities. This year it happens to be in New York. And we're happy that some of the presenters are here tonight. We have a listening audience who's probably familiar with my first guest, Angelina Diana. She hosts Mediums and Messages on Signs of Life Radio. And Lloyd Auerbach has also been a frequent guest. Both Angelina and Lloyd will be presenting at the conference, which is Saturday the 11th, the 12th.
The 12th.
Called Is There Chocolate in the Afterlife? And as those loyal listeners may realize, Lloyd Auerbach wears many hats. He's a professor. He is a parapsychologist. He is a you're looking at me like I'm not going to remember, but I,
but I am. I'm waiting for the list.
But,
yeah.
But I will. He is a prolific author. He is a mentalist, a psychic entertainer, a chocolatier, and maybe a few other things which we won't announce yet.
And a cat owner.
Yes. And we also have with us Janet Mayer, who will be participating in our Night of Mediums event on Friday, tomorrow, the 11th.
11.
And Janet Mayer is a certified medium and a member of our Medium Advisory Board, as is Angelina. And she is also the author of a new book called Spirits, They Are Present. You thought I wouldn't remember that either,
yeah.
But I did.
And Lloyd is the author of a new book.
Lloyd is the author of
many books.
He has thousands of books. Actually,
I wish.
Actually, eight. And the latest book is Ghost
Detective's Guide to Haunted San Francisco.
Haunted San Francisco, which was co-written with Annette Martin, who unfortunately has passed away recently.
Well, fortunately.
Well,
and
you know,
sure, you look at the other side.
Yeah. You know, now that I thought it would be interesting, we have different perspectives here, certainly from as a parapsychologist and as mediums, and I know, Lloyd, you've mentioned in conversations that sometimes on investigations you'll utilize or collaborate with a medium in your work. And I wanted to ask either Angelina or Janet or both if they sometimes go into certain physical locations and sense spirit. Does that happen to either one of you?
I think spirit's all around us, so I think it's a matter of, you know, if you're in the medium mode, which I think we all can be, I still submit that when Lloyd does his work, he's actually in the medium mode. But you know,
different kind of medium. Yeah.
But I think we can all perceive spirit. So I think, you know, if you're in a certain frame of mind or receptive to spirit, you'll pick up on it.
But is there a particular place that you go often, and every time you're there, you sense like the same spirit entity? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, I think I've had that experience, but it's on a personal level. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like my mom's on the other side, and there's certain places that I go that I think it isn't that she's there. I think my energy is heightened, and so it makes me more perceptive to her energy.
Mm.
That's what
right.
I think.
I agree with that.
Does it happen to you as well? Or
yeah, not as much as constant. I do feel it's kind of like the same story as when, you know, two people are arguing and you go into the room afterwards and you feel that energy or that tension.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, only it's a little different, but it kind of has the same, you know, process to it.
I agree with that, too.
And you feel something, and if when you relax and open up, it starts coming in. Then you start to feel more, and it starts, you know.
Mm. Now, what I've learned from Lloyd is that, you know, there are certain entities, what do you call them, ghosts or spirit, that, you know, that appear to be conscious entities and maybe are even interactive. And then there are certain types of, like, hauntings where there's it's an environmental issue somehow, and that's pretty unique. The environment can hold on to information.
The environment, or, you know, and it could be, we look at it from different perspectives. I think that the reason why ghost hunters on TV are using electromagnetic field detectors is because we found correlations between electromagnetic fields and the environment and people's experiences. Whether those are directly connected or not, there's certainly a correlation there. Mm-hmm. The imprint could be on a psychic level. I mean, we're not quite sure exactly where that information is, whether it's in the physical environment or more of a psychic environment that we just happen to pick up on that has a byproduct of the EMF stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as a medium walking into a particular physical location, you know, where the environment is holding on to information, that's really kind of not in your realm, right? I mean, your abilities are not sensing environment. I mean, your abilities are to sense conscious information, not necessarily information that may be on a loop or.
I think that there are different, you know, energy levels, and I think, you know, Lloyd could speak to that from his perspective. But the way that I look at it is, normally, if I'm going to pick up on spirit, I don't feel spirit for me would come out of the woodwork unless somebody was connected to it. And normally, if I feel something that isn't connected to me, I generally sense that it's a byproduct of an argument, a byproduct of, say, you know, in the 1800s, somebody was walking by here and somebody, you know, got stabbed. So to me, I think mediums like Janet and I, we really thrive on the evidence. So when we sit with someone who's had a loss, it's easy for us to feel, oh, that's spirit, and we feel that vibrational energy. Then we feel, I would call it like a lower hum of energy. It's like, oh, something's hitting me. Oh, that's not my mom. Oh, crap, I think somebody just got in a wicked fight here. Or, oh, I think somebody's really pissed off about something. You know, it doesn't feel spiritual. It feels energetic, more like on what someone would call like psychic energy versus, say, spiritual ghost energy.
But with that said, and I do totally agree with that, I've also had an experience where the woman that came to the end of my bed one night, and, you know, I saw her. I didn't know who she was. I saw her. Her arms were standing, you know, she had her arms up, kind of facing out the window, but I wasn't thinking about it. And the next morning when my husband went out to his car, it had been broken into. So it was, she was giving us a warning, and I found out there was an older woman that had owned all that property before the houses were built on that land.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that could have possibly been her giving us a warning.
And that makes more sense.
Right. And
yeah.
And she could be mimicking or coming back and forth or looping in the same thing. But in this sense, she totally gave us a warning. And,
well,
I mean,
the evidence was there.
The evidence was there.
Interesting thing, you said it before about people, you know, having an argument and then leaving it. It's not the dead that leave these impressions behind, typically.
Right.
It's the living.
Right.
You know, I always found it interesting when I've been on cases where there was a murder in a place. And people talk about seeing the murder reenacting itself, and they think they have two ghosts there, the murderer and the victim.
Right.
And you come to find out the murderer is in prison. So where's his spirit coming from?
That's right.
It's an imprint of the situation, and her spirit's probably not even there. In fact, the folks I've worked with said there wasn't. It was just more of a residue left behind, that recording that was left behind.
Well, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we will be talking more with Lloyd Auerbach and Angelina Diana and Janet Mayer and learn more about the unseen world. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Ah.
Suzanne Goode, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goode Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our special guests tonight are Lloyd Auerbach, Janet Mayer, and Angelina Diana. Our sponsor is Bob's Discount Furniture and can be found on the web at www.mybobs.com. Our Bob?
www. And we, while we're on break, actually, we got into a little conversation. Lloyd mentioned that he's come across some psychics and mediums who believe that, you know, everything is spiritual. They don't see any difference between the two. But I would guess that the group here clearly does see a distinction between psychic information and spiritual information.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I mean, it's not necessary to be a spiritual person to be able to do telepathy, or let's
right.
say, you know, I mean, but,
exactly.
you know, so, exactly, so. I've come across a lot of mediums who say to me, when I say to them, well, you've given me a tremendous amount of information, but clearly it's psychic information, and their response to me is, well, don't you know that all psychic information comes from spirit? So, you know, how would you answer that? Except, duh.
Well, I just disagree on that. For me, it's a feeling. The spirit, I mean, I don't know how I want to answer this.
In some respects, you could say that if consciousness is spirit and consciousness is in the body, then technically psychic information is from the spirit of the medium themselves, that person themselves, but there's a distinction.
I think it's all in how it's received and from the receiver, too. Like Lloyd spoke about, like, there's some psychics that their experience has always been, gosh, if I get this, like, vision, it's got to be from another world, you know. And I think the fortunate thing about this organization and science, and especially when you get to work with other mediums, you see a common thread of when you connect to spirit, there's always evidence present, but there's always an internal reaction that brings it to, it almost feels like an internalized sensation that, while the medium is experiencing it, you can see them being transported and taken to another place. From my viewpoint, I sense, like right now there are five of us in the room, I might start sensing that there's six or seven, and then the information comes from within. I think what happens to a lot of psychics when they get information, it feels outside of the body. They start experiencing, like, look there. Right there, there's this, that, and this. Versus, I'm feeling this, I'm hearing that. It feels more...
Psychic information may be closer to sensory information in that sense, which is a very different perceptual process.
Yes.
Every different sense than an experiential thing.
I think so. And I think for me personally, from a personal viewpoint, I have a conversation with another human being. And if that person is so well-rounded and there's so many facets to them, when I've had psychic impressions, they happen like a flash and it's gone. So it's almost like, for me, it's like I'll feel something, I'll go, hello, in my head? It's like it's fleeting and it goes away. It doesn't stick to my spirit.
So you should say that you might say that it has spiritual communication has some depth, you know, to
more
it.
Connection. Bigger depth.
Connection. Yeah.
And I find, too, that a lot of the psychic stuff comes across quite Hollywoodish or flamboyant or kind of like,
I think that's for you, maybe. I think that depends on the person's perspective.
I
know one medium who didn't know the difference because he grew up actually basically watching TV psychics in terms of not psychics even, watching how psychics were portrayed on crime dramas and things like that. So his behavior when he had a connection with a spirit was very much like the TV psychic. And his experience of having other information was very much like that. So it was shaped by his role models, which were not a lot of role models.
I gotcha.
So I think for everybody it's maybe a little different,
That's why I said personal, because I think the neat thing about spirit, though, is that I really believe that they understand the communication so much. Like, some people argue, well, they don't know how to communicate right away or all this stuff. I don't know that answer, but I do know once they start communicating, they have such a depth to how they communicate that it's more dimensional to me. It's the only word I can think. It feels dimensional.
Connected, you feel more connected in with...
Right. It's almost like the difference between talking to a piece of cardboard versus talking to a person.
Is it live or is it memorized?
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like a storyboard when it's psychic.
It's interesting hearing you talk about your experiences, because when it comes right down to it, the average person to have a psychic experience of any kind, years ago I wrote a book on psychic dreams, and I talked to a lot of people and got a lot of people telling me about their psychic dreams, and I asked them, how did you know it was a psychic dream? Because a lot of them knew that at the time. Every single person, it felt different. They could actually not put it into words, because there were not words in our language that could describe what it was like.
Right.
And that's, you know, when you talk about experience, it's a big problem, but it's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, my observation with mediums is that mediums get information in different ways. Now, I noticed the way, very often the way you work, Janet, is that when you're going to read somebody or when you're doing a group, or, you know, very often you get information beforehand and you write it down.
Correct.
Does that ever happen to you, Angelina?
It's happening right now.
It's happening right now.
And normally that doesn't happen to me because I think it's something with her. It seems like Janet has a big influence on me.
To me, it's kind of like it's good for me to do it that way because it kind of takes the pressure off of it. So I just sit down and I start, you know, when I meditate, I put the person in front of me, the client is usually in front of me in a chair, and then I ask whoever needs to come in around them. And depending on where they come in or what they do and what they say, I just write everything down. And everything I write down, they get, no matter if I understand it or not. And that's just the way I work. I see it, I might feel it, I might smell it. It's the same thing. It's allowed to come through however it needs to come through.
And I'm the opposite. If I try to do the work too much ahead of time, my physical brain gets in the way. And I start shaping it in a way that isn't as true to the spirit because I'm second-guessing what I'm getting. So I'm the other way. I'd like to have, like, a fresh palate right away and then have that person in front of me and then start giving the information. Just a different way to work.
Right, right.
So, you know, three of you, there are some similarities. I mean, Lloyd, I think, is a parapsychologist, investigator, researcher, is really wants to find out exactly what the mechanism is that allows all of this. And in the same way, as I mentioned, Angelina and Janet, both of you have taken part in scientific research. Not a lot of mediums do that. So I guess it's fair to say that the two of you have some interest in finding out, why.
Definitely.
You know, otherwise you wouldn't be doing
it.
And that's not like many mediums that I speak to have absolutely, you know, all they care about is that they can, you know, they have this ability, but they could care less about how it happens.
But I think that's the quality of a good psychic or a good medium is an interest in knowing how this process works and what's actually going on with them. And that's been, because I did a study and which I presented in San Francisco to some extent, but I'll talk a little bit about tomorrow. We're looking at the best qualities of psychics and mediums, and there's a lot of common factors that are there, and I think that that's a key common factor. It's one that I was talking to Julie Beischel and Martha Kuzi about, in fact, at the other conference, the Atlantic conference.
Right. Well, they certainly would know about that. So, but why? I mean, why do you want to know?
Well, I think for me, again, I'll go personally, is when you, I think it's become very clear to me that this is an ability. It's not a gift. And I hear a lot of psychics and mediums go, I've been a gift from God. And, you know, if that's what you believe, that's fine. I don't want to step on your toes. But I never thought I'd be doing this work. And when I see it as an ability, it helps me understand that I'm always developing. I'm always trying to figure out, like, okay, I was sitting with that woman, and oh, my God, like, I did a reading the other day, and out of the blue, the father on the other side said, Winnipesaukee Lake. And I went, he wants to remind you about Winnipesaukee Lake. She couldn't stop crying for the next 15 minutes because it was such a personal, and I'm like, out of all the lakes, I'm like, okay. So later on when I was going through my meditation, I'm like, okay, how did I get that?
Right.
Did I see the lake? Did I go through something I remembered? Did I feel like I was in water? I want to remember how I got that. So if I get that feeling again and I'm with somebody else, I'll be able to help someone. So to me, it's that. The gift, I think, is helping people. That I'll agree. I think there's a gift, and I think it's a passion to help people. And when you have that response, then you want to go, well, I want to take that ability, and I want to just shape it so the next time I'm sitting with someone, I'll be able to help them like that. So I think it's because of wanting to help people, and you have a response like that. Don't you want to dig down deeper, Janet?
Oh,
and go, okay, Spirit, like, was it because it's maybe I'm stronger at feeling and maybe Janet's better at seeing so that you made me feel a lake and she got to see a lake? Or is it because you in life as a spirit are really good with showing things versus feeling things?
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's like you ask all those questions because you want to be better.
Well, I want to know. I have always had that drive to know what is going on. Why is this going on? How did this happen? Why is it stronger at this point? Why am I getting this? Why didn't I get that? You know, I was just telling Fran, I want it 100%. And you know, right now we can't get it 100%. But I want it. I want it so bad because there's something there that we connect into. They're there to give it to us.
Right.
So why aren't we getting it 100%? What can we do to change that? You know, I mean, I'm always trying to turn it around and make it, you know,
it's a personal drive of the 100%, not to prove I'm 100%. It's a personal 100%. You know, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how, and I feel, I know it will help somebody, but I want it to help somebody 100% too, you know. So it's all, you know, it's all together.
You're looking for patterns, and that's what the scientific way of doing things.
And that's
it's,
right.
It's a way of learning more. It's look for patterns. That's what we do in science.
And that's what we do.
We have to, because we're not physically seeing the person, so we have to go by, why did that person on the other side make me feel, they might have been both, say, golfers.
Right.
But this particular spirit made me see a golf club. The other one made me smell the grass on a golf club.
That's so weird. You just said that. I was going to say tasting grass, and I don't eat grass. You just said grass. I'm like, oh, my God. But I was the same thing. Oh, look, the same thing. The yard. We're talking about the green stuff. But it was the same thing. Yeah. One day I tasted grass, and I thought, I don't eat grass. Why would I grass in a reading by tasting it, which made no sense to me.
Well, clearly you have a past life as a cow.
So did you figure out the answer?
I'm like
curious. Did you figure out, like, what was it about
it
the
was
spirit?
Just the way, it was just the way it came through that day. And I don't know why, but for some reason it was green.
Was
and I tasted
golfer,
it was
like,
really weird.
But why did they send that?
It was something they did outside.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was something they did outside, but it was the strangest thing. Why did I taste it, and I saw green, but I didn't just get grass? So it made no sense, so that bothered me for a long time.
You're going to figure out, like, why did that spirit
I don't really want to taste that.
Did they take a diver in the grass once and taste grass?
Those are all great questions to ask.
No, but that's what we do.
Because, you know, when we were talking about 100% in the car, saying, oh, there's Janet. She's always striving to be the best. But that's not what she's talking about.
No, right.
She's talking about, I need to know how they're sending me the
stuff
so that I can give 100% of what they want to the sitter, to the person who needs to hear it.
Yeah. Well, as we know, sometimes it's not totally the medium, you know, so when you say you may be better at something, another medium might be better at that. What about spirit? Spirit might be better at something.
Right.
Their personality comes through.
Yeah,
I often think another viewpoint. I think it's not that they're better or worse. I think they're trying to show it a certain way to display a certain personality trait.
Right.
Well, or basically, living people have issues of communication.
Right.
People communicate in different ways. Mm-hmm. Why would that be much different?
Well, I don't know. I think they speak differently than us. It's just as an argument. Not
but between
not,
each other.
Between each other, but we often screw up I think they're 100% right when they give an information. We screw up the interpretation because we still have a language.
Right.
So I would argue that on some level, spirit plays with me a little bit to kind of say, like, let's say, for example, with one spirit, I'll get Winnipesaukee Lake, and another one, I'll get Winnipesaukee Lake. I'll go back and say two different spirits gave me Winnipesaukee Lake, and I might go, well, that guy made me hear it because he was a good talker in life.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy made me feel it because he was a very feeling person. So I sometimes I want to say, well, maybe you guys are good at communicating, but you're doing it a different way because you're trying to tell me more about you.
Mm-hmm.
More about you. So I don't know. I don't know if they get it wrong.
I would just be very impressed if you got Winnipesaukee. Winnipesaukee.
I ended up hearing it.
Right?
Heard it. Yeah. I don't know, because I've been to Winnipesaukee. They could have showed it to me.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Well, for you then.
Oh, yeah.
But anybody else would have to hear it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'd be, what?
What's Winnipesaukee?
Winnipesaukee.
Now, when we give a label to things, you know, like a ghost, and a ghost, many people, as label attest, are fearful of ghosts, right? I mean,
And that's because of a long-standing tradition amongst humans to tell ghost stories or stories to spook us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think that, and the media has capitalized on that to some extent.
Yeah. Well, I would ask the mediums. I'll ask the question: do you ever do a reading for somebody and the sitter is fearful of communicating with the spirit world?
Yes, I've had different clients who they don't want me to tell them certain things, only happy things and good things, and that's not really total reading.
But are they fearful of the process, you know?
I think so. I think they're a little, and it kind of surprises me because of that, if you're, you know, coming to you for that.
Right.
So,
except that people, I mean, if you look at what people do, they go to horror movies to get scared.
That's true.
And so you have a fascination with a subject, and you still put yourself in a position where you're going to be scared. So.
Well, and I do that. I call myself the chicken medium. I mean, when they appear or something happens in the house,
I jump.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, sorry, thanks. I'm sorry, I'll get better next time. Right. And then next time rolls around and something else bizarre happens, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, and then okay, I promise next time. But I keep wanting it and opening up to receive whatever that has to come through, but I have to keep doing it, but that's my own personal process.
Yeah. I've had clients call me and say, okay, so I'm going to be having a reading at my house. Can you assure me that none of the ghosts will stay here with me?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, they're not. That's the only thing I find. I find, for me, most clients are nervous because they're wanting to hear from someone certain. You know, they want to hear from a certain person. You know, and they're
right.
And so that's why I take time to explain how I work in the beginning to kind of relax their energy.
Yeah. Well, you know, spirit communication, let's face it, I mean, it goes against everything that many people have learned, and educated, cultural influences, societal influences, religious influences. But we've heard many accounts of people that, you know, the first thing they'll tell us is, I would give anything to be able to see, you know, my loved one again, or to speak with my loved one again.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, they do. And then they start. I mean, if they're dreaming, it's one thing, but if they're awake, they say that they were afraid, you know, and they start to tremble, and they start to cover them.
We're programmed in our culture to be somewhat afraid of this stuff,
right.
And it's really unfortunate.
It is.
But what's really, you know, people always blame a lot on Hollywood, but if you really look across the movies that Hollywood has done with ghosts, and I'm not talking about demons and monsters and things like that, but the ghost movies, they're mostly comedies and dramas. They are not movies like Paranormal Activity. They're movies like Topper. And Ghost, and, you know, and things like that, and TV shows like The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
Right.
So it's really not that image that's coming across. The comedies just don't have the impact emotionally that lasts long as some of the horror films do.
Mm. Well, and the media now is, I mean, I don't recall ever there being a time where there's so much interest, you know, whether it's ghost detective shows or the medium shows or it's sort of incredible, but people believe what they see, you know, I mean,
yeah, they don't have any, unfortunately, no discernment about what they see on TV, and it always amazes me that people just watch an episode of one of these shows and go out and start ghost hunting on their own.
Right.
It's not like they would watch Cops and go out and try to fight crime.
Right.
Or watch, you know, I kiddingly say in reference to the Ghost Hunter show, I'm not going to watch a do-it-yourself show and then call myself a plumber.
Right. Yeah. And listen, sometimes, and there's another similarity, because I'm sure that you lament over some of these amateurs that they could do more harm than good when they go out to some environment. And I'm sure that Angelina and Janet can attest, you know, somebody that declares themselves a medium can do an awful lot of harm to somebody
And as a psychic entertainer and having been involved, actually I got into magic because of the issue of psychic fraud that is rampant out there. And just like there's fraud in medicine and everything else out there.
True.
So I see those kinds of folks. And actually I've met people who are sincere. They really try to help people, and they're really good at reading people from observational perspective. And they're very helpful. They're not psychic, but they're extremely helpful. So it just there's an intention. I've also seen a couple of people who are very, very psychic who are evil. You know, they're on their way to becoming Darth Vader if they are, you know,
there,
a volcano someplace.
Oh, my God.
Hmm. But that's another subject. I mean, you know, is there evil, or is evil something that we just
a human thing?
Thank you.
It's totally a human thing.
I totally agree with you. I think it's definitely.
There's a new book out called The Science of Evil, and the last name of the author is Baron Cohen, like Sasha, but not Sasha.
Oh.
It's a British author, and it talks about what we call evil as being a lack of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different way of looking at actions that people, that human beings have, and I think it's a really good way of looking at it.
It's like darkness is an absence of light, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's you know, we attribute, again, because of a history of folklore, we attribute, you know, people can say, well, it's a malevolent ghost. It's like,
what?
I've never met a malevolent anybody.
Right. Thank you.
You know, okay, I worked with a waitress at a bar once that was malevolent. That's a whole different story, but, you know.
She tells it differently.
I'm sure she does.
I often say to people, like, when they ask me, like, oh, my God, you know, do you ever have anyone coming through that's evil? And I'm like, no. And if they were, don't you think we would have more mediums coming through that way? Or even so, you know, when they talk about, you know,
people being possessed by evil ghosts, don't you think there'd be more newscasts of, you know, Mrs. Jones was in the frozen food section, and all of a sudden her head started to spin,
right.
And it was pea soup coming out of her mouth. No, but you know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
You know, and you know, and a lot of people ask me that. Like, I just did an event in Connecticut at the Infinity Hall Theater in Norfolk, Connecticut, and this woman, nice lady, said, oh, Angelina, I have a question. And I was, you know, just on my way to go see my sister, and all of a sudden I looked behind, I felt this spirit behind me, and I looked around, and there was this woman with haggard teeth and a gray face, and she, you know, she was, like, snarling at me, and it was like this really evil ghost. I'm like, no, it wasn't. I said, did you, like, eat something bad for dinner?
She forgot to tell you it was Halloween.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, then we had to go over, you know, residue energy, all this stuff, you know, because it's truly a product, as Lloyd says, of human nature, the
right.
mind. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we have these really weird interpretations, and now because of all these ghost hunting shows, people are trying EVP, and people keep on telling me, well, like, I went into a house and I got this EVP of somebody saying, get out. I said, well, you know, my guess is that you walked in, you weren't nice to the ghost,
right.
You started yelling at them to try to produce something.
Right.
If it was me and I lived there, I would have yelled, get out, at you,
right.
Or I would have ignored you completely.
Or maybe a week before, a mother, living mother, was cleaning the floor, and the kid went by and got dirt on the floor. She goes, get out from the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what they picked up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you are listening to Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about things that go bump in the night. So stay with us. We'll be back.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guests tonight are Lloyd Auerbach, Janet Mayer, and Angelina Diana. This show is sponsored by Bob's Discount Furniture and can be found on the web at www.mybobs.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Our Visa credit card, Amazon iGive announcement that I go through every week, I'm going to cut short. Just go on the website at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org, apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for every card that's taken out, and every time you use it, they will make additional donations to us without you spending any more money. But while you're spending money, you could go to iGive.com. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And when you shop in their over 900 online stores, again, a portion of what you spend comes back to support our work. And you can also go to Amazon.com through the link on foreverfamilyfoundation.com.org, whichever you choose. And again, a portion of what you spend at Amazon comes back to support our work. Our holidays past raffle with 5 chances to win a 1-hour medium reading is in full swing, but very few people have joined into that, so there's only 216 chances purchased. You got to be crazy not to go online right now and buy a lot of chances because you very likely might win. Again, the website is foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and you have complete instructions there on how to enter, or you could just mail us a check at Forever Family Foundation, 222 Atlantic Avenue, Oceanside, New York, 11572. Our annual fundraiser night of mediums is sold out. Thank you all for your support of our important work. And our annual conference, Is There Chocolate in the Afterlife, set for this Saturday, November 12th, is also sold out. Holidays Past, an evening of spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, is in 4 locations this December. December 3rd, we have Joanne Gerber in Bethel, Connecticut. Also on December 3rd, Janet Nohavik will be in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. December 10th, we have Angelina Diana in Natick, Massachusetts, with afterlife advocate Dave Kane. And the December 17th event with Teresa Caputo, our Long Island medium in Melville, New York, is sold out. It's $25 a seat for members, $35 for non-members. Reserve now. The seats fill up quickly. Bob?
And, I wanted to broach a subject, and I sense I might get difference of opinion on this, and that is the concept of, in the terms of ghosts. I mean, a lot of people believe that ghosts frequent a particular location because they have an attachment to the physical, and that they, that could, I don't know what the reasons might be, maybe the way that they live their lives, a materialistic life, or maybe other reasons. I mean, you could also say that maybe they're attached to a living person. But for the real answer, let's go to Professor Paranormal. Professor,
if you read literature going back, 50 years, with people talking, either psychics or some of the ghost hunters are about there, going back to Hans Holzer and people like that, they often have ghosts make statements like all ghosts don't know that they're dead, or all ghosts have unfinished business, or all ghosts were attached to places because of emotional connection to materialism, or all ghosts different. You know what? It seems to be human. So there is every possible reason under the sun. I've had cases and worked with psychics who've spoken, and witnesses, and I try to work with witnesses as much as possible to talk to the ghosts that argued about themselves not being dead. That's a form of denial. Think of that as kind of leftover human psychology. It doesn't take long to convince them otherwise. You know, just telling them they can walk through a piece of furniture usually helps them. But I mean, there you find all of these different things, and even culturally, cross-culturally, there are things. I worked with a Japanese medium years ago, who, in her belief, she was Shinto, ghosts that stuck around places that were attached to places where people literally in life who had no family, who were depressed, who were neurotic. They had nowhere to go because, in their belief, you attach to a descendant. In other words, every human being has more than one ancestor spirit with them. So she was afraid to go to some haunted places, and I had to explain to her that Americans haunt places sometimes because they prefer the places to their family. And it's often the places that they haunted when they were alive. I mean, we talk about haunting as being in places when we're alive. So it's a wide range of things. And these are the folks who have not passed on. I mean, this is one of the things that seems to be part of a common thread through all the communication that we've had with these people are here. If you want to call them earthbound or whatever you want to call them, they haven't moved on yet. Mm-hmm. They haven't. In fact, some have been afraid to move on. They're there because they're actually afraid of what's next, like a lot of people.
I disagree.
Okay.
No, I just disagree. I think you're either here physically or you're on the other side. I think that that's the transition, and I think that the other side is among us. So there's no other. It's a different dimension if you want to find a word to try to describe it, but you can't. So I think when I hear, like, some mediums say, I helped a client's loved one cross over, and I was like, well, were you in the hospital room? What do you mean you helped them cross? Well, you know, I had this really upset spirit, and they were afraid to cross over. And I'm like, so can you, I don't believe in that. And I said, well, so can you tell me, as a medium, how do you sense the in-between place and the place where they go? And they can't answer that. So I feel like a lot of mediums are actually reflecting the fears of the loss that the living are holding on to. Like, let's say, for example, they claim that a spirit can't cross over because they died the same way their mom did, and they don't want to go there because they had a fight with their mom. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that spirit doesn't want to go there. You know, and the living person could just have this fear. Like, oh, I'm so afraid they're not going to get, if they're on the other side, they're not going to get along with that mom, you know? And so the medium senses that empathically, not
from the
spiritually,
living person.
From the living
okay.
person, and says, oh, it's because, and they go, that's right. How did you know that my mother and that person didn't get along? Well, let me help them cross over now. And then the person walks away feeling better, the living person. And in their mind, they think, well, now they feel better, and they resolve that issue with the two dead people. They follow my, and to me, I feel, what you spoke to earlier, Lloyd, that when we come from a place of negativity, evil, the inability to forgive, nastiness, competitiveness, the physical brain needs to survive in the physical world, so it has the survival of the fittest that's ingrained into your physiological aspects of things. That, to me, is a remnant of the physical body and dies with the physical body. What's left is that free spirit. So when you physically die, the spirit is intact and here. And it has the ability, using telepathy, to go, like, my mother's with me now and can also communicate with my sister in Chicopee, Massachusetts. That's what I believe. And I think that when we get into that shady area of, okay, the spirit is stuck, well, couldn't that be residue energy? Couldn't that be somebody...
Well, one of the theories is that a lot of these things are residue energy, yeah. But the complexity of the communication is intense, more than any other psychic residue that you could possibly, including interaction,
okay.
The kind of interaction you're talking about.
Right.
The things that I'm talking about typically have no relationship to family, in fact.
Okay.
They have to sometimes a relationship to the place, and mm-hmm. They had a relationship to the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and went around until they found somebody who could kind of pass along some information to them.
And couldn't that be the residue energy left over from that person living there?
It could be, except in some instances we've had cases where, I'm going to give you an example, I had a case where a family didn't know why this ghost was showing up, mm-hmm. Turned out the guy died three blocks away. He'd never been to this house.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way for that there could have been residue of him in the house that mm-hmm. people were communicating with. Mm-hmm. We got the information about who he was from him,
mm-hmm.
and actually we didn't use a medium in that point. Mm-hmm. We were using one of the witnesses. We placed her under hypnosis
mm-hmm.
and suggested to her that she was a medium,
mm-hmm.
and she was able to give us the information about this guy.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your viewpoint, just curious, about telepathy? So
it's all telepathy.
Yeah. So on some level, couldn't somebody that was connected to that man that died 3 months ago actually imprint that energy on the person three blocks away?
You know, we start getting into the issue that is a philosophical issue deeply ingrained in parapsychology, which is it psi of the living only,
mm-hmm.
or is there survival of bodily death in any way, shape, or form?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're suggesting in this case gives less credence to the hypothesis that people survive at all,
mm-hmm.
and more hypothesis to the other side.
But if, in fact, a medium is able to bring up information that the living don't know about...
Which happens quite often.
Which would basically blow Psy out of the water on some level.
Well, this is what the folks coming from that perspective would say. That's not the case, because you could, if a remote viewer can pick up a Russian submarine being constructed from thousands of miles away, why couldn't they pick up some information about the guy who died three blocks away?
Well, the Super Psy umbrella is very large, so
that's
you know, so we're,
right,
you know that they're.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we narrow it down?
We have a caller.
Okay, we have Elizabeth on line 3.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Oh. Hi.
Hi, you're on Signs of Life.
I have a question. The conversation is fascinating. I have a question. My parents are deceased. I was estranged from my family. Was a hospice nurse for quite a while. And knowing from near-death experience, hearing about near-death experiences and all this kind of thing, that a lot of times your relatives greet you when you pass on. And was estranged from my family. There was a lot of abuse in my family, and I was a victim of that abuse. And I'm not real keen on seeing them when I pass over. Kind of wondering how that goes. I mean, listening to the conversation just before and how people kind of leave all that kind of garbage that was human idiosyncrasies behind, that would answer some of it, but just wondering, you know, do you have to, you know, see your people when you pass over, or, you know, do you have any ideas about that?
And all right, so Elizabeth's question is, do we have to see people
spirit
that we weren't fond of in this life and the next life? So who
yes
wants to tackle that one?
I believe, Elizabeth, that those people that you despise so much are watching you live your life now to see how you reacted to their abuse. And I think that aspect of what you're doing is actually teaching them lessons on what they might have done terribly wrong to you. And I do believe
mm-hmm.
that physical anger, the physical words, the mistreatment, that ability to do that died with the physical body. And what's left
mm-hmm.
is, I believe, a very empathic, soulful person that is actually
mm-hmm.
learning from their mistakes. But I also believe, and I believe in reincarnation, and I actually believe
mm-hmm.
that in this lifetime, you're meant to be a teaching soul to actually try, and I'm not saying it's easy, to gather spiritual strength to rise above that, so that by the
mm-hmm.
time when you cross over, you're going to be a much
mm-hmm.
stronger person, spiritual person, so that when you
mm-hmm.
see them, you're going to be able to face them in a stronger way than you feel
mm-hmm.
right now in your physical body. Because what you're holding on to now is the hurt and the pain. So
yes,
I feel like you're
terrible.
Actually going to receive healing when you cross over from that.
Okay.
So that you'll be able to face them in such a way that they're going to actually learn from you. That's
okay
what I believe.
Well, I think they learned from me in my life anyway.
Okay,
so
that you'll know they'll be transformed already, hopefully, before you pass many, 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 many years from now. That's
mm-hmm.
the hope.
It ain't going to be that long, but it'll be a while.
Well,
okay.
I also sense, you know, that, you know, as Angelina was alluding to, the people that they were in the physical may be nothing like
mm-hmm.
the people that you'll encounter in the spirit world.
Right.
So,
okay.
I
thought that. I saw my father after he died, and he had such a serene look on his face. It was amazing. I was amazed. It was it was just, he was so serene looking, and he never was in life.
Yeah. Well, I hope that answer helped you on some level.
It did. It did very much. I thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Elizabeth.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. You know, that bit is an interesting, you know, question. I mean, on the one hand, you know, you hear it said very often that, you know, we don't become enlightened when we pass over. We still retain our memories, and, you know, if we were an SOB here, we might be an SOB over there for a certain extent. But there is a process, so there must be some sort of transitioning process where we progress on some level, when we can't be exactly the same people that we were.
Well, you wouldn't
here
have a body the same way, right. So you couldn't be the same person even
right.
in that circumstance.
Right, so you couldn't think of yourself as a body anymore, right?
You could try.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimate sensory deprivation in that sense. And
yeah.
Who's to say that learning's not a continual process and
right.
it keeps going on afterwards, too. It just means that you don't automatically become super smart because you die.
Right. I would agree
with
that.
Which is a shame, but I think that I agree with that.
But I think we also have had experiences where we've had dream visits, right? So if you have the ability to have the sensation of your loved one touching you when you're in a different state of consciousness, I believe you can have those positive experiences when you cross over, because I believe they are in turn physically touching you. That means when you meet up with them, they can do that again.
Right.
So while they might not, they might not have the density of their physical body, they'll have some type of ability to the sensation of touch or realization.
Well, that's a perception anyway.
Of course.
It's like the taste that you had before. That's a
exactly.
perception.
Exactly.
So, Lloyd, do you think that the dead can use psychokinesis and move things from where they are?
You know, we certainly have enough cases like that where people... It seems that there's a learning process. We have many cases where the spirit is seen for months and months and months, and then slowly but surely things start to move, as if it took them a while to figure it out. If they're remembering being alive, they wouldn't have been able to do that when they were alive, so it may be a learning process for that. They have to kind of figure out, I'm not a body anymore, how do I move things?
Right.
It's a different kind of process, but definitely we have cases that, even when people are not around, I mean, this is the thing, we might include the living people. If the people are around all the time, that becomes the poltergeist situation, but there are many cases where it's very clearly not that.
Yeah. So it sort of complicates understanding some of this, these seances and the physical mediumship, you know, when there's always a question, is it coming from the living or is it coming from the dead?
Or both.
One
of the things about the EVP people out there, people doing EVP, is I find it really fascinating that certain people always get EVP and a lot of other people don't get it, or they get it once in a while.
True.
So it's most likely that without realizing, the people who are always getting it very likely are mediums of a sort, unconsciously, you know, techno-mediums in that case.
Right.
Well, I think we're all mediums in many ways.
Right.
I think we just have different gifts and how
our channel.
That's kind of true. I think that's the way to kind of look at it, you know, because I think just like we spoke about, where I spoke about the dream connection, could there not be more of an ability for a spirit to move something with the assistance of the telepathic mind of the living? So maybe it's not a learning, just a thought. Maybe it's not
connection
a
connection process.
It's not a learning curve. It's a connection process.
Yeah.
It's like
you give
me the ability to move this from the other side because you are actually helping me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a tandem thing.
Yeah. And from a research point of view, sometimes the scientists and the researcher are acting as mediums unwittingly.
Always.
Right? You know?
Always.
Yeah. That not only goes for this field, for parapsychology, but it goes for every field. You have to start worrying now about every dead chemist and physicist helping along some physics experiments to make sure the outcome's exactly what somebody wants.
Interesting.
That's a whole different ballgame.
I won that Nobel Peace Prize from the other side. You're not blowing my concept.
Right. There you go. Wow.
Well, for those of you who will be coming to the conference, we look forward to seeing you. Tomorrow, as we mentioned, is Night of Mediums. We look forward to seeing you there. And at the Saturday is the all-day conference. It's exciting. You have... You'll have Dr. Lee Bauman and Professor Paranormal, Lloyd Auerbach, and Angelina Diana, and Teresa Caputo. And don't forget that Professor Paranormal has a different hat as a professional chocolatier.
Mm.
And those who are there will get to experience some exquisite chocolates, and those who aren't there will be able to order some. So best of both worlds.
That's good. Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Judy Lockman, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, Francis Mastracco. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all of the creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was by Masaru Emoto back in May 2010 with the Gulf tragedy. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.